Hello and welcome back to the Daily Study of the Way of Mastery. I'm Jason Amoroso, your guide and friend, and today we continue with Lesson 13, You Are Unlimited Spirit. Yes, you are. And you could say it, I am unlimited spirit. We continue with Section 5, Bringing Awareness to the limiting definitions of yourself. Let's bring awareness so we can deliberately redefine ourselves. You didn't create yourself, but you are made in the image and likeness of your creator. So you are a creator. It's the one thing you don't have free will over. You can't stop creating. It's wedded to the essence of your being. So what you create is absolutely within your control, within your sovereignty, within your dominion. So Jeshua is inviting us to be a conscious creator of our experience. And this goes, as we're learning in the Way of Mastery, far beyond just this limited body-brain experience that we're having right now. So here we go. Let's dive back in. Paragraph 21. We may finish the lesson today. I'm not sure. Let's see how far we get into it. There's a lot underlined and highlighted to talk about. So let's dive in. Here we go. The way of transformation begins with you deciding what you are most committed to. It requires bringing awareness to every set of definitions you have adopted about the capital S self and placed as an overlay upon it. It culminates in the transparency of the body-mind-self, the little ray of light you think you are, so that even while that continues for a little while, it is permeated by an awareness of your cosmic being, and that becomes your identity. Beautiful. We are in the way of transformation now, and it begins, as he said from the very beginning, really, of the Way of Mastery, the whole thing, with you deciding what you're most committed to. Will you be committed to fear or love? Will you be committed to the ego or the true self? What are you committed to? Are you committed to God, the divine? Are you committed to truth? Or are you committed to illusion? And you know what you're committed to by what you do. You can't fake commitment. And commitment is total. It's all in. You're all in committed, not saving a little sliver for yourself just in case things don't work out. So that's where we start. What are you committed to? Over and over and over again. It's a verb. Commitment is a verb, not just a one-time decision. Just like in a marriage, you demonstrate commitment over and over and over again. It's not just when you say, I do at the altar. And he says that this commitment and the transformation, it requires, it's a requirement, no getting around it. You have to bring awareness to every set of definitions that you have adopted about the true self and placed an overlay upon it. Layers, you've layered conditions on top of your true self, but you're unaware of it. So you can't change it if you're unaware of it. This could be also called the shadow self, the part of us we don't want to look at, the part of us we're denying or resisting or rejecting, and we're not aware of it. So this is, he's giving us exercises, and we're being invited into becoming aware of all the definitions about ourselves that we've adopted. They're not true. We've just adopted them. And they weren't just given to us and all of a sudden we have them. No, we took them on at a soul level. We took them on. And we can learn and grow from them and see and then make a different choice. See the effects that they're having and make a different choice. That's why healing, it's not an event. It's a process. And it feels like when we do healing work that it's layered. So many times in a Revelation Breathwork class or a coaching session or Living the Way of Mastery group or our Revelation Breathwork training, any of the things we offer, when somebody's dealing with an issue, they're like, oh, I thought I already healed this. Why is this up again? This old wound or this misunderstanding, I thought I healed it. Well, it's a spiral and there's layers to it. So you might have healed part of that issue at one level of consciousness. And as you elevate your consciousness, there may be more subtle levels of healing that are ready to be had around that same issue. But it's a spiral. You're revisiting it from a different consciousness than you were when you first did some inner work. So we just layer all of these things on top of the true self, these masks, these personalities, these personas, and they all in some way limit who we really are. And we forgot that we did this. We don't realize we're doing this. So now we're undoing it. We're deprogramming. And it culminates in the transparency of the body-mind self, the body-brain self, the little ray of light you think you are, the small s self, the transparency of it, that you see through it. It is an illusion. The false self is an illusion. It's not real. The ego is the tiny mad idea. It's not who you truly are, but it feels real. It seems real. You've created the experience that it's real for you, but it's not. Because falsehood, by definition, cannot be true. So it's the illusion that you're buying into. So that even while it's a full transparency, you see through it. So you're like, yeah, I still seem to be in this body, still seem to be like everybody else. I'm still talking like everybody else, but I know that this is not what I am. And however long this bodily experience lasts, it's permeated by an awareness of your cosmic being. This is the message of Jesus, of Jeshua ben Joseph, of any awakened master. That you're a divine being, infinite spiritual being, that's having a human experience. It's not who you are. You're not the body and the brain. You are infinite consciousness, creating a temporary experience for yourself. And that's the good news, because it takes a lot of the seriousness of life. It can take a lot of the fear of death away. Like, oh, this too shall pass. I am more than this, so much more than this. But I'm having this experience. I'm not going to deny or resist I'm having the experience. I'm going to have it fully. I'm going to delight in it, as Jeshua says in OSM. Rain or shine, I'm going to delight in whatever experience I'm having, knowing it's temporary, knowing I'm going to create a new experience. Moment to moment, that's all I do. So it doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to create my experience regardless of the conditions or the circumstances, because those are neutral anyway. And he says, and this becomes your identity, that you are in a body, or seemingly in a body, having this human experience, but you're also very much aware of your cosmic self. Just a couple pages ago, Jeshua says, there's nothing grander than being in a body and also being aware of your cosmic self. You don't have to wait. And this is the way. But we got it. Let's practice. Let's be patient, have fun on the journey, and practice these things. And this becomes your new identity. Oh, this is who I am. And anyone here that's listening to this has probably done enough inner work or transformed to some degree, where if you look back at yourself, probably even 5 years ago, you're a different person than you were 5 years ago. You have a different consciousness. You have a different understanding. You have more wisdom. You know more of yourself than you did 5 years ago. So we're always in this process of waking up more and more to who we really are, and our identity shifts. We see ourselves differently. You know, it makes me think about this quote. I can't remember who said it, but it's always stuck with me, that self-image, meaning self-identity, creates the bounds for individual accomplishment. Self-image creates the bounds for individual accomplishment. What you think of yourself will determine what you do. Because if you think you're unworthy, you're not going to do certain things. You might not take certain risks. You might not, whatever, I don't know. You might not do certain things if you think you're unworthy, or you think you're not enough, or whatever. But if you think you're worthy, if you believe you're worthy, if you believe that anything is possible for you, if you believe you're a powerful creator, there's nothing that you won't do. So you're going to create much different results in your life, a different experience. So self-image, who you see yourself to be, creates the limitations that you experience. That's exactly what Jeshua is teaching us. You then are Christ playing in the world, unlimited, unfettered, unvictimized by anything. What arises, arises, and what passes away, passes away. And arising and passing away are exactly the same to you. Love comes, it is received. Love seems to be taken, so what? You bless the being that withdraws awareness from you, and you simply open to whomever comes into your consciousness. For you decide how you will be in relationship in each moment. And you never discover something out there that is right. You simply create the structure of your experience. This is a powerful message. You then are Christ playing in the world. This is who you truly are. Christ is not someone's last name. It is a state of consciousness, a state of an awareness of life, God, divine, source, universe, as the essence of all things in existence. And you are a child, a creation of life, pure consciousness with the power and the gift to create, to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. You are a creation of God that created extensions of itself that create more of itself. You are the wave, a wave in the ocean of all that is, created for one purpose, to extend and create more of what God is, love, the good, the holy, and the beautiful. That's what you are. And you are ceaselessly doing this from infinite freedom. You are not limited in any way at any time. This is who you are, the Christ. Declare that for yourself. I am Christ love. Own it. Step into it. Take it on. Repeat it. Look at yourself in the mirror and say it three times each morning. I am Christ love. I am Christ love. I am Christ love. And you are playing in the world. I don't remember which lesson, but where Jeshua says, above all, God thinks playfully. You are playing. You may not realize you're playing, but you are playing. And when you treat your life more as play, and we know that play is one of the highest forms of creativity. It's one of the highest forms of learning. Children who play, adults who play games, they learn quicker that way. When you sit at school in a desk and it's like rote memorization, what is that, like Rockefeller education from the 30s, just to create good workers and not creative beings? We learn best through play. We create best through play. So see your life as a playful game that you're creating. Have fun with it. We take it too seriously. We take ourselves way too seriously. You are unlimited, unfettered, unvictimized by anything. Say that every day three times to yourself. Say that 30 times every day to yourself. You are not a victim to the world you see, to anyone, to anything, to any situation ever. Not even for a moment. It's an impossibility. It goes against what you are. What arises will arise, and what passes away, because in time all things are temporary, and it's just creation after creation after creation. The wave, the ocean doesn't lament the passing of a wave. The wave is birthed in time, and the wave disappears in time, and it comes back in a different form. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It is. Forms are created or destroyed, but that's not the essence of what something is. You are not a body brain. Yes, you will die in a body brain. I will die. We all think of how many billions of humans have died in a body. But you don't just go away into nothingness, into blackness, and you're done. That's fear. You're an eternal being. You will still very much be aware when you leave the body. And there's many accounts of near-death experiences of people who were clinically pronounced dead. I always talk about Anita Morjani, but there's so many others. There's, I think, a Netflix series on death that has near-death experiences where you're very much alive. You're just in a different, you're still have kind of your body too, but it's not a physical body, but it's still a form because your consciousness wants to take shape in a form. And there's many teachings that talk about having a life review. That's why I love the movie Defending Your Life with Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks. Such a great movie, little spiritual movie, a little love story. Check it out. I can't recommend it enough. Might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I think it's so great. A life review. What did you do with your life? What were the lessons that you learned? What arises will arise. We're not getting attached to anything. What passes away, and arising and passing away, they're exactly the same thing. They're creations, and then they dissipate in form. Then they are creations and dissipate in form. Jeshua says earlier in this, in the Way of Mastery, like even if the whole of the earth disappeared, the universe would just go keep on creating. It wouldn't bat an eye. It wouldn't mourn a minute because it keeps creating, and nothing in truth is ever lost because it's all one energy constantly expanding. Just the form is shifting. I don't know about you, but again, I've shared this many times. My relationship with my brother is closer and stronger than ever. It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You strike me down, I will be more powerful than you can possibly imagine because I'm not limited to this physical body. Now, if he was the real master like Yoda, he would know that he wasn't limited to the body anyway, and he was could be as powerful as he wanted to be while he was in the body. But anyways, that's a little deeper than maybe George Lucas could have gone at that point. But we're getting that message from Jeshua. Love comes. It is received. Hallelujah. Amazing. Love seems, in italics, seems to be taken. So what? We don't ever lose love. So it seems to go away. And at the Christ consciousness says, oh, okay, that form of love is going away, but I have an infinite well of love inside of me that's always pouring forth. I can find that same love that I had in that form. It could be a person. It could be an experience. It could be an event. I could find that same love because it's sourced from inside of me. I could find it anywhere. I could find it in a blade of grass. I could find it in a pet. I could find it in anything in existence. I could find that love, even something man-made. I could find it in a car if I wanted to. It's weird, but some people love their car because the love's happening inside of you. I could find it in a rock. I could find it in a walk in nature. I could find it lifting really heavy weights. I could find it paying my taxes. I could find it in prison because it's everything. There's no limit to where it is. There's no limit to how you can get it because you already have it. This is what we're being taught. This is the message of Jeshua, of Jesus the Christ. So love seems to be taken. It cannot be taken from you because you are it. And what happens when that happens? All right, so what? You bless the being that withdraws awareness from you. They leave you. They go somewhere else. They die. Whatever it is, you bless them. And when you bless, you're the presence of love. You're blessing, not to change or fix them, not to do anything to them. You're blessing because that's what you are. You're a blessing machine. You're a blessing being. When you bless, you're blessing someone. A blessing, in my experience, is it's like a declaration inside of yourself of like to like. I'm blessing this thing, meaning I am declaring and knowing it as its true essence, which is love. Anything in form is love. Anything in form is life. So when I bless something, I'm calling it into, in my own consciousness, The highest version of itself, the true version of itself, not to fix or change it, not to manipulate it, not to make me feel better. It's just truth. That's why I end my emails with blessings. I'm just blessing. I'm blessing you. I'm blessing me. I'm blessing it all. It's all blessing. So you bless that being that withdraws awareness from you, and you simply open to whomever next comes into your consciousness. Who's here? Who's in front of me? It's the Gandhi quote I love so much. If you can't see God and the next person in front of you right here, then don't waste your time looking elsewhere out there. God is in everyone. God is everyone and in everything. It's all over the place because it's literally anything and everything. So don't waste your time looking for it out there. It's in the boss that you despise or you hate. It's in your ex-partner that you are blaming for something. It's in your parents that abused you. It's in everything. Now, they may not realize it. They may be sleeping to who they are. But you're waking up. And their sleepwalking, their dreams, has no bearing. It's independent of how you relate to yourself, how you declare and know yourself rightly. And you could say to them, hey, you're the Christ too. And they'd be like, you're crazy. What the heck are you talking about? Leave me alone. Okay, who cares? It doesn't matter. But if you're saying, oh, you're the Christ, and you know, why don't you believe me? And you know, you're just hurting yourself by not believing this. You're trying to get them to see something. You're trying to manipulate them. Maybe you're well-meaning. You want them to feel as good as you do, but you're still wanting them something for them. Let them be free. Let them take as long as they want. Your job is not to convert or convince anybody. Your responsibility is to be and demonstrate love, to be that which you are. That's it. Let everyone figure out they're on their own path anyway. And if you're meant to be an angel for them, you'll do something you probably won't even know. You won't be like, oh, God told me to say this to you. You'll just say it to them. It'll just pop into your mind. And you might not even think twice about it. You'll go along your way. And then that person, whatever you said to them, later on in the day, it'll be the thing that changed their whole day, their whole life maybe. But you were unaware of it. Why do you need to be aware of it? Your only job is to be the presence of love as best as you can in every moment. Then life becomes so easy. Shouldn't the way be easy and without effort? Lesson 10. Shouldn't things be simple? What teachings are so complicated? This is the most simple, empowering teaching I've ever come across. But as Jeshua says, the brain doesn't like simple. It wants to keep it complicated. Because if it's complicated, it's always out of reach. Or it's special if you know it and other people don't. Or it's special that they know it and what's wrong with me? I don't get it. I'm unworthy. Specialness, that's ego too. And Jeshua says, for you decide how you will be in relationship in each moment. It's your choice, moment to moment to moment. This is what we're talking about. And you never discover something out there in italics that is right, because there's nothing out there ever. It's all sourced from within you, your experience. Your experience is sourced within you, no exceptions. Love that. Take that level of radical responsibility and watch your life change. It's going to be hard. I had a situation today where I was in total judgment of someone else. Total blaming them, total judgment, I was angry, I was feeling resentment, and I had to practice these things. I had to feel it fully. I had to make a different choice. I had to apply forgiveness. I'm not forgiving them for what they did wrong. That's just being in judgment. I had to forgive and love myself for seeing them incorrectly, for seeing myself incorrectly. For seeing that I was just projecting onto them my own insecurity and fear and pain. And as I did that, it took time, but as I did that, I totally shifted inside of myself. I felt at peace. And wouldn't you believe it? A miracle happened. That person came to me like an hour later and totally was vulnerable and opened their heart. Because I did my work, it created a space that created an opening for them to feel safe and loved and not judged and come and share. And they specifically addressed something that I'd never talked to them about, but I was healing and forgiving myself during that little process. And then they brought it up and they had no way of knowing. All minds are joined though. It's so beautiful. You simply create the structure of your experience. Your beliefs and thoughts create your reality. That's what this is saying over and over again. You create the structure of your experience. If you don't like your experience, create a different structure, create a different belief system. And not just at the intellectual level, at the emotional level, at the spiritual level, with the exercises that Jeshua gives us. Practice and practice, practice, practice. So let's end it today, because then we'll have the last two or three paragraphs to rock out tomorrow. Thanks for being on this journey. I'm grateful to be on it with you. I'm a student with you. Love you guys so much. And, we're all listening and participating in this all over the world. It's really cool. And let's connect. Send me an email. hello@revelationbreathwork.com. Let me know that you're listening just so I can say hi back. And if you get value from the podcast, please like, subscribe, share, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts and write a very short comment if you can. It goes a long way. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have an amazing day.